weeks ago, I preached a message just talking about one of the things that's going to be our goal over this next year is to become what I think many churches in America have lost, a spiritual family. Right? I'm not talking about just seeing people on a Sunday and then checking out and never hearing from them again. I'm talking about actually being a spiritual family. And then I really started praying about another thing. And again, I know this is simplistic stuff, but the older I get, the more that I'm like, again, remembering the plain things are the main things and the main things are the plain things. Right? So becoming a spiritual family is plain. And what I'm going to talk about today is like plain, but I want to take us to a place where we don't just pray, but we go a little bit further than that. And so I've been talking about, and we mentioned over the last few days as we've been talking or doing the 21 days of prayer and fasting, we've been talking about this scripture, and I've mentioned this many times, that Jesus says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And I know in the American church, we call the church a lot of things, and we are known for a lot of things, right? But what we want to be known for, if we want to be what God's asked us to be, is we should be called a house of prayer. And I think that it's just an incredible need in our church as a whole today. And I just want to start this morning by giving you a couple of phrases that I heard all the time when I was growing up. And I just want to know if any of you've heard these. You can grunt or hold your hand up or make some kind of signal that you've heard this if you have. And if you haven't, just sit there. But has anyone ever heard the phrase, "grab the horns of the altar"? All right. Can I get a little bit more? Can you actually, can you just move your hand? I just want to know. Anybody remember grabbing the horns of the altar? Anybody remember that? Never heard that. It's an Old Testament reference where these protrusions on the end of the altar would come out, and they were actually used to tie down, secure the sacrifice. And they were made of acacia wood, and they were surrounded or covered in bronze. And so what would happen, so it would secure the sacrifice, but another thing that could happen is if you were a fugitive on the run for your life, you could actually run, and literally they would throw themselves and grab hold of the horns of the altar. Kind of like, I don't know, I can't even remember, Notre Dame, right? Right, Hunchback, right, where you go to a church and you find refuge, right? It was the same thing, right? It was literally always a place, holding on to the horns of the altar was always used in reference to people who were looking to God, who were praying to God, who were running for their life, right? So when people would say, when I was growing up, grab hold of the horns of the altar, what they really meant was they came to a place of holy desperation. They were crying out to God to do something on their behalf, right? What about this phrase? Have any of you ever heard this phrase, praying through? Right? A little bit more common, right? That just means that we pray until we get a hold of God and God gets a hold of us. Right? Maybe somebody in the church needs a miracle or a breakthrough or deliverance from addiction, right? Right? Back when I was growing up, like if you had an addiction, whether it was smoking or alcohol or cussing, whatever it was, right, that we just couldn't do, you know what you did on Sunday night, right? And that didn't mean you like pray, like, well, church starts at 10:30 sharp and we end at 12 dull. That meant you pray until you're done, right? We see all through Scripture that there's a fundamental belief that prayer moves the heart of God. And the only way to break through or learn to pray is to pray through, right? And I want to talk to you this morning about praying through. I know that's kind of old school, but I don't know. I think some of the new stuff isn't working quite so well. I think to feel good, do whatever you want to. We don't anybody want to be convicted of the Holy Spirit. And nobody wants to move. Like, it's not, living our best life is not working. Because if we're constantly trying to go on vacation to get away from the life that we built. We're constantly trying to do all kinds of stuff to numb because we're just not where we need to be. And I think God still is enough if we will get full of Him. Right? Praying through means we pray with some determination. Praying through means that we pray with desperation. That we pray until God responds to our prayer. Right? That we pray hard. Praying through means that we cry out to God. Praying through is all about persistence. And I'm just saying today, in our American culture today, a whole lot of people have lost the desire to try hard. If it doesn't come easily to us, we just tend to move on, right? Actually, research has proven one of the reasons that we have such low, sometimes standardized scores compared to other students around the world. Some people think it's because some students are smarter than others, that other students are smarter than more intelligent than American students. But actually, some researchers said it may have to do more about their ability to persevere. Right? They actually took some first graders from Japan and some first graders from America, gave them this incredibly difficult problem or puzzle to solve, and they wanted to see not if they could solve the puzzle, but how long they would try. Come on, somebody. And what they found is the American students lasted about 9.47 minutes on average, about 9.5 minutes, right? The Japanese students with the same puzzle lasted at about 13 minutes, 0.93 seconds. About 14 minutes on average. So the Japanese students, what did they do? They didn't have to figure it out. It wasn't because they were more intelligent. It was just they tried harder. They tried longer, right? The research concluded that the math scores have less to do with intelligence levels, but more to do with persistent levels, right? They just tried harder. And it's true in every part of life, isn't it? It doesn't matter if it's academics, athletics, math, or music. The harder you try, the longer you persevere, the better you become, right? Research shows that it takes about 10,000 hours to become proficient and skilled and master any skill, right? My question this morning, is prayer any different? Right? It's something as a discipline that has to be developed, right? It's a skill that has to be practiced. And I'm not saying you have to pray for 10,000 hours before you become proficient, but I do know that it will take you a long time to learn how to pray through. Particularly in our microwave right now society. And let me just tell you, there's a difference between praying and praying through. Listen, the bigger your dream, the more desperate the need in your life, the more it needs to be prayed through. And in Luke chapter 18, we have an example, an incredible example of praying through. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, here's what it says. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So the reason Jesus has given this parable is to teach us something about prayer, to teach us to not quit, right? And here's what he said. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, I think that's interesting, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith. Will he find faith on the earth? Let me ask you a question. In the context of this parable, how is faith expressed? It's expressed in persevering, persistent prayer. It's expressed by crying out to God, praying through until God gets an answer or gives an answer. The parable of the persistent widow is a picture of how we pray. It shows us what praying looks like or should look like. Right? Because right now, what most people think prayer is, if we move, is this. Lord bless. And I don't question that we can pray. I just want to talk about learning to pray through. Right? I'm talking about praying like knocking on heaven's gates and knocking on heaven's door until your knuckles hurt. Right? It's praying through is crying out to God until you've lost your voice because you've cried out for so long and so hard. It's pleading with God until your tears run out. Right? When we learn to pray through, God will come through. Right? He may not come through in the way you want him to and how you want him to, but God will come through when we learn to pray through. And let me just remind you of this. When you're learning to pray through, while you're praying through, God is working both in you and on your circumstance. Well, I don't see. Well, no matter if it takes days or weeks or months or even years, if you commit to hold on to the promises of God and you pray through, God will show himself faithful to you. He will come through if you pray through. I love the way the New Living Translation describes the widow's persistence in verse number 5. It says, "But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." The NIV says it this way, "Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." The judge says, "Listen, I'm going to have to do what she wants me to do because I'm afraid this woman is dangerous." Right? She's going to come and attack me. ESV says this, "Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continually coming." ESV says it this way, praying through is like, it almost describes it like a wrestling match. And isn't it true when you actually start trying to pray through? I'm not talking about 5-minute prayer. Nothing wrong with 5-minute prayer. Sometimes you're in an emergency and you don't have time to go through, right? But here's what I'm saying, right? It's sometimes when you're praying through, can I just be honest with you? Last weekend, I did not end Sunday morning service. And I'm not saying this for any other reason other than God is doing something deep in your pastor that I want to model for the people. And so last Sunday, like I just said, do whatever you want to. I didn't know, but like I went over in the corner. If you were here last week, we were in the corner and I left it about 2:00. Like, "Pastor, are we having church to 2:00 tonight?" I don't know. I'm just simply saying that there's something about, like, right? It was just a labor. Like, I don't want to do church just anymore. I want to have an encounter with Christ every single time we get together. I saw a deal yesterday reading about John Wesley, and people said this. He said, John Wesley was a preacher back in the day, and he said, "Listen, preacher, people are not going to come to watch me. They're not going to get in their horse and buggy and come and watch me preach. They're going to come and watch me burn. The question is, am I burning? The question is, do I believe what that God says is for us and for you today?" And I just want to model what I'm talking about this morning, right? Praying through is more than words. Praying through, you've got to pray through like it depends on God. And you're working like it depends on you, right? It's praying until God gives you an answer, no longer how long it takes. That you do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to hear from God. Right? You got somebody you praying that gets saved and you're like, "Well, I prayed before. I've been praying for my brother for a long time." Right? But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep on praying. Come on, somebody. Right? Because the promises of God are still true, right? Some of you are like, well, I've been praying for healing. I'm going to keep on praying because God says keep on asking and keep on knocking and keep on seeking. And if I'll keep on doing what God says, then he'll do what he says. Remember in Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, he's desperate for God to answer a prayer. He's praying and God sends an angel to Jacob to deliver a message to him. And when he sees Jacob sees the angel, he grabs hold of him. Remember, and he wrestles with the angel. And what does Jacob say to the angel? He says, I'm not, the angel says, let me go. He says, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Right? The church I grew up in, we used to sing a song, a hymn back in the day. Y'all remember this hymn? Probably not. But you, if you've been in church for a long, long time, maybe. But you remember the hymn, I Would Not Be Denied? Verse number 2 says it this way. It says, as Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. An instant with a courage bold, I stood up on his word. That's what praying through is, right? Praying until the Lord blesses you. Being desperate and doing things desperately to call out to God. There comes a moment in your life when you got to draw a line in the sand, stand your ground, pray in faith, in persistence, and drop to your knees and pray for the impossible. Right? Comes a moment where you have to muster every ounce of faith that you have and you get the attention of the Father. And heaven comes down. And for the persistent woman, this moment was that time and that kind of prayer, time for that kind of prayer in her life, right? Now, the Bible doesn't say what kind of injustice took place in her life. We don't know for sure. We don't have an answer. But she was a prayer warrior, right? She wouldn't be denied. I don't know what happened, but whatever it was, the judge knew she was never going to have any give up. Right? He knew that she would keep coming to his house until the day she died if she didn't get justice. There wasn't any quit in her. And so here's my question that I've wrestled with all week today. Does the judge know about you? Right? Have you been persistently praying about anything or anybody lately? Have you been knocking and seeking and calling out to God consistently and persistently? Or have we just got to a place where in our modern church, we pray a little bit, we don't see what we wanted to, when we wanted to, and we just give up. We just move on to our life. How desperate are we for a miracle? Are you desperate enough to stay up all night to see your kid know Jesus? Are you desperate enough to say, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to pray through until I get through to see that addiction broken off somebody's life? Are we desperate enough to say, instead of, it is what it is, this is just life, that we actually know that God has an abundant life and he's got a promise that we can walk in? Or we just said, it is what it is. Right? How many times are you willing to plead for the promise of God over your life? Here's another question. Are you dissatisfied with the circumstances in your life? Are you dissatisfied with the pursuit of God in your life? Are we just okay? Have we just been in church for so long that we're just okay with status quo? Just going through the motions of the church, right? Listen to me. If you're not desperate to the point of breakthrough, the promises of God's word will always remain outside of your prayer reach. Right? But if we'll learn to pray through church, like the persistent widow, God will honor our bold prayers because God honors bold prayers. We can pray them and he will answer them, right? When you study the persistent widow, her methodology was kind of strange, wasn't it? Wasn't it a little bit unusual? Like technically, how many know she should have waited until her court date, right? Not go knock on the judge's door every day, right? I don't know if they had restraining orders back in Jewish history, right? But this woman probably should have had one, right? Because she went to the personal residence of the judge, and she didn't wait for her court date. And how many would agree, like, she crossed some professional lines, if you will, right? She probably crossed some ethical lines. But listen, when you're desperate for God and when you need a miracle in your life, God couldn't care less about your protocol. Right? If God was concerned about protocol and how we come to him in prayer, he would have just chosen the Pharisees. Jesus would have chosen the Pharisees to be his disciples because they were professional at protocol. They were professional at programming. But we don't see God honoring them. We see Jesus rebuking them. Right? When we look in the Word at who Jesus honored, it was always the people who were breaking protocol. He honored the prostitute who crashed a party at a religious leader's home to get to Jesus. He honored a tax collector who climbed up in a tree in a business suit just so he could get a glimpse of Jesus. I'm talking about who God honors and getting desperate for a move of God, not just going to church. He honored a group of friends who cut in line and cut a hole in somebody's roof in order to get their friend healed. Just wonder if we've lost that in the church. In this parable, Jesus honors the woman who drove the judge crazy simply because she wouldn't quit knocking. The common denominator in all of these stories is a holy desperation. People who took desperate measures to get to God, and God honored their desperation. I'm just here to tell you this morning, God hasn't changed in the last 2,000 plus years, right? He still honors the spiritually desperate. He still honors those who are willing to crash a party and climb some trees to get to Jesus, right? People that are praying through and have been holding on to years in holy desperation, believing that sooner or later, the longer I pray, and if I just keep on knocking and keep on seeking and keep on believing, that sooner or later, I'm going to get the attention of heaven. Right? God still honors those people. And the persistent widow is a model of what it means to pray through. We have to know that the power of our prayers isn't determined by the right words. The power of prayer has to do more with our intensity than our vocabulary. Right? 1 Kings chapter 8, 18, there's another story of a persistent prayer. Excuse me. You know the story, right? There's a drought in Israel. For 3 years, not a drop of rain had fallen. God had given, now listen to me, God had given the prophet Elijah a promise that it was going to rain. Right? So notice God had given the promise, but it hadn't rained yet. Some of you just need to understand that. Like some of you are like, well, right, like you're just, well, you've still got a promise. Anybody there today? Like you've got a promise, it just hasn't happened yet. And just like, because here's the deal, all promises have to be prayed through, right? They got to be prayed through. So Elijah has several times of prayer in this story, right? You can go read it. But after the first prayer, he sends a servant to go and he says, is there any sign of rain? And he says, nothing. And he does this. He does this for six times. And after the sixth time, he comes to the servant and he says, any rain? Any sign of rain? He's like, nope. Right? That's when most of us quit. Hear me. That's when most of us quit praying. Right? Because we don't see any inkling of an answered prayer with our natural eyes. Come on, somebody. We don't see any kind of turnaround in our life in 2026. We don't see any kind of different passion in 2026. We don't see any kind of different revival coming to our church in 2026. It is what it is. Because I don't see what I think I ought to see when I think I ought to see it. But I just want to remind you that Elijah had a promise and it hadn't happened yet, but that didn't take away the promise of God. Right? We allow our circumstances to get between God and us instead of putting God in between our circumstances and us. Come on, somebody. The way you get God between you and your circumstances is through prayer. Right? Elijah put God between him and his circumstances, and he kept praying, and he held his ground, and he stood persistently on the promise that God had given to him. And I believe Elijah would have prayed 10,000 times, 10,000 hours to see God move. But between the sixth and the seventh prayer, there was a shift, right? Elijah's servant went out to check and reported back to the prophet. He saw a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Now, today, in American church, we're like, well, they ain't going to do nothing. Right? Somebody new comes to church, well, they're probably not going to stay. Somebody gets saved, yeah, they're probably going to fall off the wagon because, you know, they're druggies. But Elijah, he gets a report. He says, I see a cloud just the size of a man's hand. What if Elijah would have quit after six? Right? He would have forfeited the miracle that God promised. Pastor Jeff can't, like, do whatever you want to with Pastor Jeff's promises, right? But when I'm telling you what the Word of God says, come on, somebody. Right? But Elijah prayed and God came through and the winds began to blow and the rain came down and it just wasn't like a polite little rain. It was a massive rain, right? I'm just here to tell you, it's so easy for us to give up on miracles, to give up on the promise when it seems like we're praying and nothing happens and we lose heart and we lose patience and we lose faith and our prayer life develops a slow leak because we get frustrated and not long but after that, our prayer life becomes flat. Right? So let me just ask you some questions today. Is there a dream or a promise that you've been praying, that you just kind of quit praying about? Is there something stirring in your heart that God wants to do that he wants you to resurrect? Is there a promise that you've been praying for a long time and because it didn't happen the way you wanted to or when you wanted it to, God is stirring something in your heart that, listen, you can take it off the shelf and you can, like, believe again. Can we just believe God again? Right? I think we've been so disappointed. Can I just be real for a moment? Let me not look at my notes for a moment. We've been so disappointed with so many Christian leaders who have failed us and so many churches have failed us that we think that God is like those people. Because we put our confidence in a person instead of the person of Christ. Listen, inadvertently, not ever intentionally, but I can disappoint you. Other people disappoint you. But God's word says, my promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Amen. Worship team, you guys can come. I'm going faster than I thought I was. Now can I get a good amen, somebody? Right? I think the reason many of us give up too soon is because we feel like if God doesn't answer the prayer that we failed God. But can I just tell you, that's not failure. The only way you can fail is when you stop praying. Right? The most, and here, I need you to get this. The most powerful prayers we pray are prayers that we link with the promises of God in Scripture. Right? When you know you're praying the promises of God that are in His Word, you pray with a holy confidence. Right? Like, I can pray for my brother today to get saved because God's Word says so. Right? When you know you're praying the promises of God, you pray with a different confidence, right? It's the difference between standing on thin ice and standing on solid ground. It's the difference between timidly praying and praying with some tenacity, right? You don't have to second guess what you're praying for, your prayers, when your prayers are aligned with His Word, right? The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. Now, I just want you to think about this, right? There are approximately, give or take, 3,000 promises in Scripture. Right? And because of what Jesus has done for us, think about this. Every one of those promises have your name on it. Right? My question to us today is, how many of those 3,000 promises have we prayed through? Right? I think maybe the reason we don't pray through is because we run out of things to say. And I want you to think about this for a moment. We sometimes run out of things to say. I remember the first time they told me to pray for an hour. We had a 6 a.m. every day of the week, 6 a.m. prayer meeting for an hour before you went to work. I didn't know God that well, so I didn't talk that long. Come on, somebody. Anybody else besides me? Or y'all just like, yo, I'm holy. I could pray an hour. No, I was like, good morning, Lord. Thank you for a day. Beautiful day. This is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice. Yeah, rejoice and be glad in it. And I would fumble through words. And I'm thinking, whew, I've got to be done about now. 5 minutes? Got 55 more minutes to go. Anybody besides me? Right? We run out of things to say and talk about. And our prayer life becomes like we have conversations with God about like we do with weather. We're like, yeah, it's cold. It's supposed to be cold again tonight. And that's about as deep as it ever goes. Right? So what's the solution? It starts with the way you read the Bible. Can I just say this? The Bible wasn't meant only to be read through. The Bible was meant to be also prayed through. If you pray through the Bible, you'll never run out of promises to stand on. That's worth coming today. The Bible is not just a promise book, it's a prayer book. Right? Because here, I want you to think about this. Reading is reactive. Praying is proactive. Reading's the way we get through the Bible. Prayer is the way the Bible gets through us. Come on, somebody. There's a difference. When you learn to pray Scripture, the Holy Spirit, you will read and you will see a promise and it will come alive in your spirit. Right? That's what I want for us today. Right? Not that we have everybody stays to 2 o'clock to pray. If he wants to do that, that's fine. But can we just get desperate for God again? Because here's my concern, and here's where I'm going to leave, and we're going to close, and we're just pray for this morning. But here's my concern for the church in America today, and more locally in our church. I'm concerned that nobody is coming up in our churches that really know how to wait on God. They really know how to pray through. To really know how to seek the face of God. To really know how to pray until we get a breakthrough. That knows what it means to be persistent and intercede like the widow constantly over a period of time. Right? And I say that because, listen, if all we know is a microwave God that gives microwave answers, and we just push the button and we pray for a moment, and if God doesn't answer in the 1 minute, then we're just, okay, I give up, and we're just going to go on. We're done. We're in trouble. Right? Listen, can I just say this to you? I know nobody likes to hear this, right? Because we're my way, right away, right? Everything is customized. When you want it, right? Your playlist, you listen to the music you want to, when you want to, if you want to. You eat when you want to, what you want to, if you want to, right? You go to work if you want to, when you want to. Come on, somebody. Like, well, I go to work all the time. No, your body's there, but your spirit's still mad in bed. Come on, somebody, right? Listen, we don't serve a microwave God. We serve a crockpot God. God slow cooks solutions, but the modern American church wants microwave answers. We want to come, and again, start at 10:30 sharp, and be out by 12 o'clock dull and wonder how come I don't see God doing anything. Right? But the God of Scripture says that if people will tarry and people will learn to wait and they will linger, when we learn to pray through, God will always come.